the best you can buy.
An Islamic cleric who has terror on his mind is saying, kill U.S. civilians. It's all over the internet. In the meantime, the top cop, as far as spying is concerned in Iran, says the three jailed Americans who were hiking in Iraq and wandered into Iran, or they are spies, rather, and they're willing to work out a deal, but doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. And Bobby Jindal says he's tired of waiting around. As the governor of Louisiana, he's pushing for things to happen in his state to fight this oil spill, and he's calling a federal response that is a laggard, that's the word that he used, a laggard federal response, too slow. So he's trying to figure out a way to protect his state's wetlands, and he's using state and county resources to correct the problem and not waiting on the Obama administration to act on protecting the area that's so precious to the ecosystem down there in those wetlands in Louisiana. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. We're getting ready for a big weekend, Memorial Day weekend. You may have a 3-day or 4-day or 5-day chance to rest, hang out, recharge, and get back to the business. Let's hope that you do get to spend at least some time kicking back. But for now, let's hit it, and let's hit it hard right here at the top. The other thing is China. What's at play in China? Well, a lot, and we've talked about this constantly on this show. What's at stake right now with China is, one, will China jump on board and push to fight North Korea after and join up with South Korea, basically, in the U.S., because South Korea is vowing for retaliation over the sinking of one of their ships and killing 46 men that is clearly tied to North Korea, even though they deny it. So Hillary Clinton is pushing for the people in China to, in fact, agree with South Korea and to punish North Korea for sinking that warship. But there's economic things at play here, too. It's about trade. And the U.S. wants that trade to be increased with China. If anything else, they're pushing for a more balanced relationship, if you will. So there's some strategic talks that are happening in Beijing, and then ultimately Hillary Clinton will go to Seoul as well. So I believe she'd like to have China in her pocket to say to the South Koreans, we're with you when you decide to blow the whistle and go after North Korea. But here's what you had to say about the trade business.
For trade to work in any economy and for it to produce the benefits we know that it can, there must be a level playing field where domestic and international companies can compete freely and openly.
And remember, it was the president who said that he wanted to double U.S. exports within 5 years and create 2 million jobs. One issue that will probably come up in these discussions with Beijing is the trade advantage they have because of the undervalued Chinese currency at this point. You know, the euro has been a huge burden to the U.S., and the U.S. dollar gets deflated, so the euro slide to the 4-year lows against the dollar puts that burden on the exporters. And the yuan has a rate of about 6.83 per dollar for nearly the last 2 years. So it kind of, what they're looking to do is cushion the exporters from the global financial crisis. So with the yuan undervalued by, do the math, by up to, let's say, 40% against the dollar, it gives the Chinese exporters a huge advantage in overseas markets. So this is another part of the problem. Will China, which deals with North Korea and exports to North Korea, will the Chinese leaders really want to back the UN penalties after this investigation blamed North Korea for sinking a South Korean Navy ship. So this is a pretty hectic and intense three-nation jaunt to Asia. It was Japan on Friday, and now Beijing Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and South Korea on Wednesday. So a lot of the challenges are in that pocket, in that area, and a lot of what has to happen is there does have to be a definite working relationship with the Chinese. But the downed ship is part of this agenda. Despite the economic talks and everything else, this has to be the thrust of things at this point, because in going to South Korea, and given the fact that we've got so many of our guys stationed there, you know where the U.S. is going on this. But will China jump in and turn its back on North Korea? And the international investigation clearly says that North Korea, a submarine, fired a homing torpedo at the end of March, ripping South Korea's ship with 58 soldiers who were rescued but 46 killed, ripped it into that ship, and it's the worst military disaster since the Korean War for the South Koreans. And North Korea has said, we are going to crush South Korea, that it's an enormous fabrication. And the only reason it's out there is because they're trying to justify their attempt to invade the North in collaboration with the U.S. So this spells yet more problems, and it all is at the feet of Kim Jong-il. Because why did they shoot on it? Why did they hit them with that torpedo in the first place? And clearly the evidence does link them to that. All right, let's talk about this terror cleric here at the top. This is big news. Big news, but not surprising news. Anwar al-Awlaki has been pretty much singled out as a key threat to the U.S. and has been added to the CIA's list of targets to be assassinated. I mean, just flat out put a bullet in this guy's head and end it. Despite the fact that he has an American citizenship, he is one of the English-speaking radical clerics able to explain to young Muslims in America and other Western countries the philosophy of violent jihad, and that's exactly what he does. So now he's in Yemen, and he's an American Yemeni cleric whose internet sermons have helped inspire attacks on the U.S., and he's released yet another one and is advocating flat out, let's kill American civilians en masse, and this latest thing that he released on Sunday. He's U.S. born. He moved to Yemen in 2004. He's hiding there. He's already linked to the suspects in the November shooting at the Army base, Major Hassan, in Fort Hood, Texas, and the December attempt to blow up a U.S. jetliner, Abdullah Mutallab, in Detroit. So, this clerk, Anwar al-Awlaki, used the 45-minute video to justify civilian deaths and encourage them. He accused the U.S. of intentionally killing 1 million Muslim civilians in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere, and says the Americans are to blame. This is a quote from the Internet Post. The American people in general are taking part in this, and they elected this administration. They're financing the war. Woo. Fighting words, to say the least, huh? Hang with us through the bend.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula, and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Speaking of getting it on, so I don't know that we could really get it on against North Korea and Iran at the same time. Boy, some nasty things are happening and some serious decisions have to be made. Iran's intelligence minister is saying that Tehran might be open to a prisoner swap with the U.S. for three Americans that have been sitting in a rotten jail in Tehran since last July. These three kids were, I say kids, I mean, one of them's 31, so they weren't like college kids, but they were arrested along the Iraqi border, and they say that it, you know, was accidental if they stepped into Iran, but Iran says no way. They're spies, and they were trying to enter the country illegally. The families say they were just simply hiking in the peaceful mountain Kurdish region, and if they crossed into the border, it was completely accidental. So what's tricky here is Iran isn't stupid. Ahmadinejad, for all the nonsense that he spews out of those lips when he comes to the U.S. and stands at the U.N. and half the room leaves, he knows how to manipulate media as well, state-run or not. So they allowed the three mothers to finally visit their kids, and they were trying to get their sons, the two boys and the daughters release, the girls release, and return to the U.S. But their return to the U.S. empty-handed, that's what happened. They did see that their kids were okay, and they seemed like they were in okay health. Now the intelligence minister puts his move on the chessboard, if you will, and says, hey, these three Americans, they are spies. Their status as spies is a clear and obvious case. But we are willing to discuss a prisoner exchange with the U.S. once Washington makes a humanitarian gesture toward Iranians in U.S. custody, similar to the one Iran made last week to the mothers. So they didn't elaborate on any of the cases. Iran has repeatedly accused the U.S. of abducting 10 Iranians abroad and sentencing them to prison terms. Think terror, and you probably ding, 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 have a good idea of some of the people that may be thrown into this. This has been suggested before. Ahmadinejad proposed this back in March. He didn't get any traction. This time they decided to bring the mothers over, and of course that's the way to try to gain some momentum. Show them hysterical and hugging the kids, and we'll make a deal. If you're willing to make a deal, let's make a deal. But I don't see that deal happening. So it could be worse for them in the end. I mean, how far will Iran go? I think they'll just let them rot in the prison, and unless there's a way to get them out. But it's not going to be any kind of a deal that has anything to do with uranium enrichment or certainly releasing any Iranian prisoners. Speaking of release, as we turn to sports shorts, we're going to lighten the load here a little bit. The Cleveland Cavaliers, if you're watching any of the NBA at all, if you've watched any of the playoffs, the Cleveland Cavaliers did not make it to the championship final series. Once again, a lot of people thought it was going to be the Cavaliers and the Lakers, but not to be. In fact, the Cavaliers have fired Mike Brown, supposedly. That's the rumor that's out there. And the reason the rumor started to circulate is because the Cavaliers had a midnight deadline on Sunday to fire him or pay him his full $4.5 million, basically, salary for next season. Cleveland was booted from the playoffs 2 weeks ago by the Celts, who upset them in 6 games. Brown had that year left, and he probably get scooped up by some other team, because there's so many coach swaps in the NBA, it's ridiculous that pink slips will fly. And it's just curious when you think that they've gone to the postseason the 5 seasons and they've got LeBron James, but not winning it with LeBron James, you're only getting so much rope. Plus, LeBron James is going to be heavily courted by so many teams. Knicks pretty much have LeBron James wearing their uniform, if you listen to the fans and some of the chatter on the talk radio there. The Cavs are going to have to search for a new coach now, not knowing if James is going to be back, and they'll have to go into the draft and free agency without a coach. James is able to opt out of his contract this summer, and it would make that team a lot different if you didn't have the 2-time MVP and, a guy who hasn't won the NBA championship, but a guy who's incredible, we know that. If he goes off and goes to New York or to Miami, L.A., it's been suggested, or perhaps he just ends up back with Cleveland. I think they'd be seducing him to come back. Matt, what do you think? It's actually surprising on the timing. I agree with it. The timing is odd.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because they don't know if James is going to come back or not.
Yeah, so what do you do?
Obviously, they're going to try to get a coach to entice him to sign again, but you still don't know if he's going to come back. So then you get a coach that maybe he's favorable to, but then he ends up spurning you and going to New York or New Jersey or somewhere, and then you're left with this coach and no star player.
Yeah, and a different team, my friend, if you don't have him on that team. I don't care who the core players are around him. He's the element. He is. He's the catalyst. And you think of how close Cleveland has gotten in the postseason. So this was a bad miss for them. But still, if you don't have LeBron there, good luck. He's so much the face of that team. He is.
And not only that, but if they lose LeBron, I don't see a lot of free agents like Dwayne Wade or someone like that wanting to, I'll go to Cleveland.
No.
They're not going to go there.
No, because that's what you want. You want a couple of key players on your team, and that's exactly, you make a great point, Matt. That's exactly what the players are looking for, the free agents. When they're disgruntled where they are, they're looking to see who else will be on the floor with them and who they can play off. Half these guys play hoop together in the off season, even just pickup games in some of these cities. So they want somebody that can that they can gel with, whether they've got an assist master and they're the pure scorer or whatever it is, the right point guard, whoever it is that completes what they would be on the floor. So this is very confusing, to say the least, the timing of this. You know, we talked about Danica Patrick, and in fact, I said that she was one of the blunders of the day, along with cyclist Floyd Landis. But what gets lost in all of this is, if you're a racing fan, I know there are some motorheads out there, Tony Kanaan gets into the Indy 500, but he spent all weekend trying to do it, and he barely got in. He had two crashes. His team had to scramble to try to get his car back together, and he did get on the starting grid with just 30 minutes left in qualifying. He was able to qualify, but everybody wanted to talk about Danica Patrick. So the idea that Tony Kanaan barely made it in kind of got lost in all of the conversation. So Kanaan, you know, from Kanaan's crashes to Patrick's remarks, boy, the Andretti folks, once again, they call it the Andretti curse. And I guess there might be the curse at work at the Indy once again. Kanaan had to pulled out of line twice after realizing he wouldn't have to requalify. So they struggled big time with him too in the qualifying position. And what's really interesting is Marco Andretti said his run was pathetic, but yet he ended up with the best starting position on the team. He's 16th. And Patrick got all those boos, and Kanaan barely made it in. Interesting times. All right, I got to throw this in because I saw this guy pitch a bunch in his career. Jose Lima was found in full cardiac arrest at 37 years old. The paramedics found him in Pasadena on Sunday. He was taken to the hospital. They pronounced him dead at the hospital. The specific cause of death, they say, is unknown. They're going to do the autopsy thing to see if they can, you know, discover anything, and they're ruling it a heart attack at this point. She said that his wife said when the paramedics got there that he was complaining while sleeping, and she just thought he was having a nightmare. She called the paramedics, but they couldn't help him. And Lima, at some point in his career, I mean, he had some key moments. When he was with Houston, he had like 21 games. He won probably his career high 21 games. And he was 89-102 in 13 seasons with the Tigers, the Astros, the Royals, the Dodgers, and I saw him play a bunch with the Mets. Coming up next, Melissa Anderson from Little House on the Prairie.
Are you prepared? Well, you need to be hardcore prepared. There is a difference. To be hardcore prepared, equip yourself with the latest survival gear available at TacTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested by Canadian and U.S. forces, so you know it's tough. What kind of gear? 72-hour survival kits as low as $55. Holsters for $21. Well, holsters as low as $40. Flashlights, knives, binoculars, sleeping bags, boots, weapons, accessories, and much more available only at TacTownGear.com. Order now and receive free shipping and a free gift on orders over $175. Need more? Receive free shipping, a free gift, and a 10% discount on orders over $250. Visit TacTownGear.com right now for your preparedness needs. That's TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Or call TacTown Gear at 418-844-9111. Again, that's 418-844-9111.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcast?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from KeroStove. KeroStove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at KeroStove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at KeroStove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to KeroStove.com. KeroStove, for family emergency solutions.
HempUSA.org urges everyone to plan ahead for possible food shortages in the future. We offer this dense, nutrient-storable food directly from the farm to your door. What the world needs is our energy-packed hemp food in a storable, portable form that can easily and quickly be picked up for travel. This food contains readily available protein, amino acids, essential fatty acids, digestive enzymes, and major minerals. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. And with prices rising in every sector, the investment in your future is critical to have some storable food available. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, so be practical and be wise. Call 908-691-2608 and place your order today. If food shortages don't come, you can always rotate our hemp foods back into your daily food supply. To place your order, learn more, and see numerous other great products, visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Finale of Lost. I know a lot of people fell in love with that show and, you know, started to watch it. And it's one of the shows that I think will go down in history. Another show that was big that has definitely gone down in history is Little House on the Prairie. Who can forget the Ingalls girls? Certainly not me. And I know a lot of you can relate to Mary Ingalls. I love Mary Ingalls, man. And there was something about it that freaked me out when she went blind. Remember on the series? Well, what a pleasure it is to welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Melissa Anderson. She's got a book out called The Way I See It, and it is a look back at her life on Little House. Hey, Melissa, we know you're swamped. We appreciate you spending some time with us here on the show.
Oh, no problem. Thanks so much.
You know, when you're on a series, and you were on that show for a very long time, when it's your last day on a series, it has to be emotional. There's got to be all kinds of things going through your head. What was it like the last scene that you shot on Little House? What did that feel like for you?
Well, it was quite emotional for me. Unfortunately, the show wasn't much of a send off. It was kind of petered out. It didn't make a big deal of us. Linwood, Boomer, and I leaving.
Right.
But we did the hugs goodbye and all that, and it was quite real.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so when you look back on those Little House days now and you put it in perspective overall, and you were so young. What was it like when you first, you got the job, and you beat out so many other actresses, the first day on the set, what was that like for you?
Oh, it was very exciting. The first, I remember more the publicity pictures and things like that. I don't actually remember the first day of filming, I don't think, but I write about it in my book. I actually broke out in hives.
I read
Yeah, so that was a little scary, and they covered them up well, though, and I made fast friends with the makeup, the head makeup artist, so that was nice, and it was very, you know, just even that was so exciting, and then a couple days after that, we started shooting. So,
and you know, you talk about in your book, too, how there were 200 other actresses there. You were just, what, 9 years old when things started to happen for you, 10, 11. I mean, that is so young. Did you have any idea how much your life would change once you became part of this very popular television show?
Well, no. But, you know, it things happen at such a kind of, you know, slow pace. You know, I mean, you kind of adjust as you – maybe it wasn't a slow pace, but you kind of adjust as you go along. As the show got more popular, you know, so did we, and so you get, you know, you get accustomed to the people recognizing you and your life changing a little bit. So it's not a slow pace, but it's certainly a gradual kind of thing that happens.
You know what I thought was cool that you wrote about in your book, that you really humanized Michael Landon, because he was larger than life for so many people, and you talked about spending time at his house and what it was like when you pulled up to his house. Take us back there. What were the Landon children like, and what was it like hanging out with Michael Landon at that time?
Well, his house was spectacular. I mean, I'd never seen a house like that. And it was this beautiful English Tudor mansion, and it was, you know, it had this like motor court, and it was beautiful. And it was very, you know, tastefully decorated, and his kids, you know, to his and their credit, I mean, you know, have always been great, really nice, polite, if not shy kids. He and Lynn, his wife, did a terrific job with those kids. So he was very different, you know, when he was on the set, he was always bumming cigarettes from people. He never had anything in his pockets. He never had any money. He never had anything. He never really needed anything. But you know, then you go to his house and you know, all this opulence, it was just kind of weird, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. And we mentioned at the top of this how young you were when you started and what that journey was like the first day. We're just talking about that. And of course, you work with Melissa Gilbert. You two were really part of the main part of the cast, obviously. And you had to be schooled. You had to be tutored. And I thought that was fascinating too when you talked about what it was like to go to school on the set and how you really weren't encouraged to be really tight with Melissa Gilbert. And I think what you said in your book is that maybe it was because they thought you would be better on camera together, and you wouldn't have falling outs like little girls might do or preteens like we all would do. Was that really the thought behind it?
That's what I think it was. I think they obviously wanted us to get along, but I think they didn't encourage us being like, you know, super close friends, because, you know, there was a possibility that we could then, you know, not be so close and have a falling out, and then it might show. And as it, you know, as it stands, I mean, the way we all were, everybody always says to me and has always said, was it really like a family? Are you really a family? And no, of course we weren't. We all had our own families to go home to, but we came off, you know, we're all actors, and we came off, and we got along well enough that we came off as though we were. So it worked.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you probably have memories from all the different episodes. I said, when you went blind, that freaked me out, that episode, and it had an impact on a lot of people. What you talk about in your book is when you found out about the blind episode, you'd heard the rumors about it, you thought that you were off the show. But it, of course you weren't, but what was it like getting into that character and then finding out you had to play blind? That had to be a little tough.
Right. Oh, it was very, very hard, actually. I mean, it was a big deal. I had to, I went to the Foundation for the Junior Blind, in Los Angeles and worked with teachers there, We also had a technical advisor on the set for those two episodes where my character goes blind. And it was huge. I mean, it was, and it's also never been done. It had never been done, and it has not been done since, where a character has some horrible, debilitating something happen to them, and then doesn't recover. You know, never recovers. So, but it was, yes, it was very difficult. It was very. I had to concentrate. You know, so some things I was able to get into and never forget, and then there were a couple of other things that I always had to concentrate on. Yeah. But there is a funny story in the book about when I went off to do a Love Boat, an episode of the Love Boat, and I found myself, you know, doing my blind gaze in the first the first rehearsal. I know, I was so embarrassed. I mean, and luckily no one else noticed. I mean, they didn't notice it, but I was like, what am I doing?
And so. Now with your book out and you're traveling all over the place for book signings and meeting people, I think people probably still recognize you. Do you get a lot of that? Do people yell your name out or yell the character's name out? Do they say Mary or Melissa? Do you have that happen?
They don't yell my name out, but yes, people do recognize me now and then. Yes, they do.
That has to be nice. That's nice because, you know, people really watched you and watched the series.
Right, right. You know, it's always flattering and it's always nice, so.
And you mentioned this, too. Then you went off and you did a lot of different things, including Love Boat, which was huge, the Brady Bunch, you were the Equalizer, I remember that. What was the Brady Bunch like? Because that had to be a lot of fun with the amount of kids that were on that show.
Well, that was interesting because that was actually my first part. I had done commercials, and then I did this part on the Brady Bunch. And I played Bobby's first girlfriend, Millicent, and it's this, like, quite famous episode now. And it was great for me because I was a huge, huge fan of the Brady Bunch every Friday night. I mean, the Brady Bunch and the Partridge Family, that's what I watched. So, I mean, I was so excited. And I remember when I went, I remember I saw the sliding glass door of their, from their, like, family room into their backyard or something, had no glass in it. And their lawn was astroturf, you know, and it was all very, very fake. And all the kids were older than I thought they were. You know, I knew some of them were older than I was, but I didn't realize that all of them were older than I was.
Yeah, that'd be a little bit different.
Yeah. So it was a little disappointing, but it was so exciting. And it was funny because, the director, Lloyd Schwartz, saw my long blonde hair, and he said, I've got a great idea. And he copied this Clairol commercial, I think it was, at the time, where they have a girl and a guy run together in a wheat field or, you know, flowers or something. Anyway, and they're running in slow motion, and they spin around, and then they embrace. And he added that in slow motion to our scenes that we were already shooting for that Brady Bunch. And, I was kind of mortified. It was so embarrassing at, 10 years old to be doing that. But it was turned out very, very cute.
Yeah, as you said, it's one of the popular episodes. And finally, what would you advise child actors? You have two kids. If one of your kids wanted to go into acting, would you encourage or how would you feel about that?
Well, I certainly wouldn't let them as children. I don't agree with it. I think kids should be kids and kids shouldn't work. That's just my opinion. Even though it worked out fine with me, nothing horrible happened to me and I didn't end up doing drugs or anything else. And, but I just don't think it's a good idea in general. And acting, is a really hard, being an actor is a tough gig. It's a really hard, career, it's very up, you have your ups and downs, you wear your heart on your sleeve, and then you're told that you're too short or you're too fat or you're too this or you're too that or you're not enough of this. And I don't know, it's there's so many other careers that are so much more dependable. So for when you're looking out for your children, of course, you want them, to have good, dependable, jobs. So,
right.
So no, I wouldn't recommend it, but then again, if they have a passion, they sort of have to follow it. But I always thought, do it as a hobby.
Yeah, there you go.
Go to college and have some terrific you know, steady job as your real career, you know.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, well, I'm so glad you got to spend time with us. Melissa Anderson, terrific. The book is called The Way I See It. Pick it up, folks. It's a really, really good read. We appreciate the time on America Tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for reading the book.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
Here's a question. If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field, this non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme-active bacteria flow through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing, claims other products can't make. Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
Fact. 4 million people in the U.S. have hepatitis C due to liver damage.
Fact.
Cirrhosis of the liver is the 8th leading cause of death among Americans.
Fact.
Alcohol, many prescription drugs, food additives, pesticides, and environmental toxins damage the liver.
Fact.
1 in 10 Americans is or has been affected by liver or gallbladder disease.
Fact.
Anything that keeps the liver from doing its job can put your life in danger. Protect your liver by visiting researchedherbs.com and learning more about the world's number one selling all-natural liver support formula, Live 52. It is the only herbal liver supplement that is backed by over 190 published clinical trials and endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide.
Don't wait to protect your liver.
Visit us at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I'm not saying I'm a Barracuda, by the way, but I do have a nomination for Barracuda, and if you listen in our next hour, I'll tell you who it is. And this story, it's worthy of the dungeon. I feel like sometimes, and I'm not gender biased, but I feel like sometimes maybe we're putting too many men in the dungeon. This time we're actually going to fling a woman in the dungeon. And a lot of people really like this woman, but boy, she has fallen into a deep well this time around. So you'll have to stay tuned and find out who that is in our next hour of America Tonight. If you're listening to us near, far, and all those spaces in between, well, welcome. We're glad to have you aboard. A big shout out to Christina in Sweden. Also, Sven, who sent me a note. He's listening in Sweden now. I don't even know if he knows Christina, but it's just somebody else who somehow found us. Jose and Jack and Don all listening to us in Spain. I think they all work together. I don't know. I just know that they're listening to us. That's the power of not just radio, I guess, the worldwide web as well. We're going to hit some headlines here in this segment as we race toward the finish line, and then mailbag. And I do appreciate all of the notes that you've sent. A lot of people still thinking about BP and the oil spill and the amount and how can they measure it and all that sort of stuff. So we'll get to those in just a few seconds here. But before we do that, quickly, just to emphasize what we were talking about last week, we had a big discussion on South Korea saying to the North, you're going to pay for what you did for this torpedo attack, for sinking our boat. The president is saying Seoul's not going to tolerate Pyongyang's brutality. They're just not going to do it. And they're looking for the UN to back them in this conflict. So in the meantime, you got Clinton who's saying the U.S. and China have to act together on North Korea. That was one of the things that was brought up. What do you think China does in this case? What if there is some kind of a war? The U.S. is involved. The U.S. has so many troops already over there. Because remember, it's just a truce between the North and the South. So now there's conversations about what happens with North Korea, that they've got to be held accountable. Kim Jong-il, who's still the leader there, has to be held accountable for sinking a South Korean warship. And it definitely was determined, they've traced this, to be caused by North Korea. So Clinton is pushing China, make a decision, work with us, and coordinate a response to what's happened here. North Korea is saying this is a smear campaign, it's not their fault, they didn't do it. They're not responsible, and on and on. It's nothing but hot air that flows out of the mouth of that short Kim Jong-il dictator. So North Korea was responsible. I mean, there's no way around it. They have too much evidence linking them to it, including everything that has to do with the way the ship was sunk. So it's really overshadowing the couple of days of talks that were scheduled to focus on global financial issues in China. That's why initially that was part of the deal with Clinton, and Clinton is supposed to go to Seoul on Wednesday, and I think she wants to go to Seoul and say, listen, we've got China backing you up. This is serious. We know you're upset, and we got China in our back pocket, but will China do that? That's why they're pushing China to work with the U.S. and the Security Council to help draft sanctions on Iran, for example, and now they want help with China on the North Korea thing. But North Korea is a little different situation as to what they're going to do. How are they going to manage this? Because this is a regional hotspot for them. a big-time regional hotspot for them. And a relationship thing, too, on the whole business side, looking at it from that point of view. The trade advantage Beijing has because of undervalued Chinese currency is something to look at. China's kind of pulling back from the move to loosen the currency's hold to the U.S. dollar. But now you got the euro slide to 4 years low against the dollar, so there's a lot of burden on the exporters across the board. A lot of things happening with China, there's no question about that. But that's a big one, obviously. What's going to happen, we'll see. Next week could be a big one. Next week or the following week as to a possible retaliation from South Korea, and what does that mean for the U.S.? Also, there is something going down in Jamaica, state of emergency in Jamaica. It's one of the places you're not supposed to travel to right now, and how many Americans go to Jamaica. But they've got a drug war going on that is just blowing apart various areas in that country. And so the warning has been issued. You know, when the State Department puts out a note, if you go and you look at the websites and they tell you, it's advised that you don't travel to this area. Well, because of the machine guns in the street and trying to off this one drug lord, it's gotten nasty, beyond nasty there, fighting in the streets. So I don't think you want to go to Jamaica just now at this point. I think I would trust that State Department warning to avoid traveling there because of the danger that has erupted, the violence that has erupted in the streets. All right, those are a couple of big headlines for you that we didn't cover in this hour, so we hit them for you. Let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, thank you very much. We have this from Jenna G. Jenna G says, hello, America, tonight. Boy, do I enjoy your show. I'm kind of a new listener. To be honest, I sampled it a while ago, but you weren't on. Somebody must have been filling in for you. And now I've heard you doing the show, Kate, and I'm enjoying it. I like the randomness of it because I just never know what I'm going to get when I tune in. Everything else is so predictable. In fact, my life is too predictable. So keep it up. Keep bringing us some of the strange and unique ideas to the table. All right, I'll consider that a compliment, I guess. We're a little strange here on America Tonight. This from Dave, who's listening to us in Illinois. America Tonight. Take a stand on North Korea. You were talking about the fact that the ship went down and we're going to have to see what's going to happen and taking a path in that direction. I wasn't sure whether you thought North Korea should be thumped or not. What do you say, Kate? Should they be thumped? Well, it's funny because we just said that headline. Absolutely. I did say this. Perhaps you didn't catch it on the show, that I have a little short list of idiots that would be better. We would be better served if they were on the planet breathing. And one of them is Kim Jong-il. Years ago, I said that, and he's still on that list. I mean, it's a layup to say it, though. I mean, hey, it's not a... You can walk on the same branch. Everybody's walking on the same branch. The question becomes is the amount of troops, but we already have 28,000 troops or so in the area. So saying that means, yeah, I think that use the muscle. Use the muscle, but you got to get the backing of the UN Security Council. Go in, and if you get China there, hit them and hit them hard. Blow this guy away. Forget about it. I mean, how many troops can they have that we cannot handle at this point? And we're in the thick of it with South Korea. So we have to go in this direction. It's obvious they sunk the ship. You just cannot keep backing off with sanctions and all that other stuff. You have to hit people where they live and take a stand. Here's from Paul, and this sums everything up. Dear America Tonight, I was wondering about contests. I love it when you do contests during the NFL season. I was too chicken to call, but I would laugh my head off when people called in and had different predictions about games, especially when they were astronomical scores or they were just way too low. But I did enjoy listening to it, and I've also heard you do that trifecta thing, wondering if you're going to have a trifecta challenge for the Belmont. When is it, and will you do that? Thanks. All right, the answer to that is, yes, we will do the Belmont Trifecta Challenge. We are gluttons for punishment, as all of you are, too, and we want to see somebody win. So that means that we will do the Trifecta Challenge. It is June 5th when the race... Do you believe it? June 5th is the race for the Belmont. So we would do it on the 3rd, June 3rd, in the third hour. And maybe this time around we'll have a winner. It's a random guess. It is similar to what we do in football with nail the score, because you're picking numbers and you're trying to figure out which numbers, three numbers in a row. And the horses will be interesting because Super Saver isn't supposed to be there, and looking at Lucky won't be there either. So you don't have your Derby winner or Preakness winner that will be entered in the Belmont. The Belmont is the longest of the three, and that changes things dramatically. But sure, for fun, we love doing the contests, and we hope all of you will call in our third hour on that night and play along with us. Who knows, you might win beyond your wildest dreams the entire prize closet of America Tonight, because it has really, really been piling up.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Idiot! It's simple! What, are you kidding me?
It's smoke and mirrors. It's bogus. And it's all too familiar.